Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, yet another crazy day. Oh, the fun, the fun, the fun. And look, I look at the Mulvaney, just that one thing, that one Mulvaney press conference. Would it be enough to bring any administration down? You've got we did it. Yeah, get over it. We did it. There was quid pro quo. Get over it. And then, you know, we're going to make money off of the G7. In one press conference, they got away with that. Obviously, they went from get over it, we did it, to, well, I was misunderstood. They misconstrued my statement, which is just plain nuts. And here to share some thoughts on the day's events, our favorite reporter over at Raw Story, Sarah Burris. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm good, other than the fact that the country's burning.
Yeah, that's what I woke up to this morning. So, right.
So what do you make of this?
He admitted it. He literally said it. Like, how long do we think Mick Mulvaney's going to last before they fire him? Trump is just like, out.
I was surprised that he wasn't walked out today.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, I think the only reason is that Donald Trump was on a plane and, you know, en route to wherever the hell, Texas. And so maybe nobody was in the White House paying attention. Maybe he was home alone. Mick Mulvaney was home alone. Wow. What the hell?
But here's the thing. I mean, will anybody, honestly, will anybody who supports Trump look at that and go, well, guess I was wrong? Anybody?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. I mean, these people are so far in deep. Like, if you don't know already, then I don't feel like, you know, they're ever going to really figure it out. They're going to, it really is to the point where he could shoot a person on Fifth Avenue and, you know, nothing would happen. None of his supporters would leave him. And, you know, that's the sad state that we're in. The very good news about that is that those folks are not the majority. You know, it's something that I keep reminding people over and over and over again. We are the majority. We are the majority of the country, not just people who didn't vote for Donald Trump, not just people who don't like Donald Trump, but now we're also the majority of people who want to see him gone.
Yeah, as I started today off, 54% of the most recent Pew survey, 54% are in favor of the impeachment inquiry.
And the Gallup poll that they released, I think it was yesterday, confirmed all of the findings of the Fox News poll. So it's kind of one of those things where you're just like, so, hey, Donald Trump, hate to break it to you, man, but it turns out that poll that you hated so much has been pretty much verified by everybody.
Yeah, we had Tom Arnold on the show last night, and he said, you know, the impeachment will be done by Thanksgiving. He'll be out by Christmas. And I'm going, okay, that's all I want for Christmas. I've already got my tooth front. I've got my two front teeth. That's the other thing I want.
I love Tom. Tom's good people. And he's spot on. I think, I don't think it'll necessarily be out by Christmas.
No.
I think that we will be in the thick of it by Christmas. I think, honestly, the longer this goes on, the closer we get to Election Day for the U.S. Senate, the more nervous that they're going to get.
Yep. Which is why McConnell said, hey, you know, get ready for it because we're going to ram this through. We're going to do it as fast as we possibly can.
Yeah, and I think it would behoove Pelosi to, you know, kind of chill it down and slow it down a little bit, because the closer we get to election, the more U.S. senators are going to be freaking out, and I think the more cover they're also going to have. Once you get away from their primary elections, I think the more flexibility they'll have to actually make an honest vote and not have to go up against some Trumpette that's opposing them in a primary. So we have, I think, more of a chance of a couple of more Republicans being willing to say, yeah, no, this guy's a crook.
Yeah.
I also wonder, honestly, I was having a conversation with a couple of people online about the possibility of maybe Mitch McConnell trying to make a deal with Pelosi. I don't know if I believe that or not.
Yeah, I don't know. But you look at today, him calling for a stronger resolution than the House sent over. And it kind of like, you know, McConnell's a power broker. I mean, I don't see McConnell as a loyalist to Trump. He's a power broker. He's a guy who understands when he's done with you, he can send you to the wolves, and this could be that moment.
Yeah, it could be. It could be one of those times where, McConnell's approaching Pelosi saying, "Are y'all cool with Pence? If so, then we'll vote to impeach and kick him out." I think if that happens,
just don't even say the words President him.
I know. It's really terrible just to even think about it. I don't believe for a second that he would get reelected, but I think the biggest problem is that up against Trump, he looks like a Boy Scout.
Yep.
So it's hard. I think, Pence would obviously run again and be really, really excited to run again because I think he really wants to be president. But I don't know that we could get rid of him. Who knows?
No, bring on Christian Sharia law. I'm thinking of all the bad policies that could, because look, I think the country's ready to ignore what's going on in Washington. I think we're ready to go back to our lives and forget that there's a president, forget there's just, because it's been nonstop every day. It's one of these moments where, someone earlier said, it was 2 weeks ago that this whole thing in Syria started. I'm going, it seems like forever ago. What do you mean 2 weeks?
I know. It's so exhausting. And I feel like we've been doing this for, a decade. And it's only been, a couple of years.
Now I'm
and
turning
every
gray.
Day, I know, every day is something bigger and bigger. And I'm looking for more gray hairs and just this is what you're doing to me, Donald Trump. I have to touch up now every couple of months because of you.
Just don't go orange. Don't go orange. But so, I thought it was interesting that Lisa Murkowski today came out and said that she was concerned. She was concerned, Sarah. She was concerned by what Mulvaney said. Concerned.
Yeah. I mean, hey, at least some folks are paying attention. And, if Mick Mulvaney is going to slip and accidentally tell the truth in front of the press, then hopefully some Republicans are going to get clued in. Murkowski has a heck of a lot of padding in terms of her reelection because, what was it? She didn't end up on the ballot, and so she had to be a write-in candidate, and she still won.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about, Murkowski doesn't have to fight for her seat the way that Susan Collins, for example, is going to have to fight for her seat. And I think, honestly, she's done, right? We've had this conversation a million times. Susan Collins, bye-bye. But
I'm hoping.
I'm hoping there are a couple of other Republicans who maybe have some scruples. You saw Mitt Romney today got up and ranted about Syria. So, ranted about the deal and what a complete crap deal it was. So I'm just hoping that, there will be more, or at the very least people like Murkowski or Mitt Romney can convince their colleagues that, time to shove this guy under the rug.
Yeah. But are you going to get 20 of them? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the number is huge. I mean, I'm going here, I'm going, look, there might be a handful, and maybe Jeff Flake was right. Maybe if it was a secret ballot, you'd get to the 30. But in public, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't either, which is surprising to me because I feel like a lot of these folks are in pretty safe seats, right? I mean, there are a lot of senators who are up this year who, we could probably knock out. But the majority of the U.S. Senate is in a safe seat. So I feel like that should give them a little bit of leeway to do the right thing. But since when do politicians do the right thing these days?
Good
Republican
point.
Politicians, at the very least.
A little bit of leeway. And look, at the end of it, you just kind of look at this and you go, history will remember you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I honestly, the thing about Mulvaney today that really struck me is, you remember whenever Trump did the Lester Holt interview and he basically confessed that the reason that he fired James Comey was because of the Russia investigation?
Right.
He just flat out said it.
Sure.
And I feel like we were shouting that from the rooftops for, several years, being like, how is this not obstruction? Right. And so Mulvaney, again, just basically blurted it out, here it is. We don't
and then
really
walked
care.
It back. Isn't this? But this is the MO. I mean, you make a perfect point. This is their MO. They break the law. They do something wrong. They deny it, and then they, oh yeah, we did it, and it's perfectly fine. They did the same thing with collusion with the Russians. It doesn't matter. It's perfectly fine for us to do this, and then they walk it back. I mean, this seems to be tried, true, and tested.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, a lot of folks are saying this is a lot like a Rudy Giuliani kind of tactic where, you know, he denies it, and then he's like, yeah, of course we did it, duh, you know, and then goes on like it's no big deal, and you're like, wait,
did you get that? Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
right? Like it's just sort of this weird kind of thing where you're like, what the hell just happened? Did I miss something?
And
I went to the bathroom during a commercial break, and all of a sudden.
It was like when I was watching years ago when I watched the Mike Tyson fight. I went up to go to the bathroom. It was over by the time I got back. Same kind of thing. But in that same press conference, you got Mulvaney, you know, basically saying, oh, well, you know, the president's decided Doral's going to be the place for the G7 summit. And hey, you know, nothing to see. Move along. Perfectly fine. He's not making any money off of it. Perfectly fine.
The thing that's so insane to me, other than the emoluments thing, is that they honestly believe that they can do whatever they want. I mean, they can literally break laws in the face of the public, and they're just like, meh, what are you going to do about it? I mean, it is really like the stupid kid in the grocery store who, like, slips something in his pocket and is like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? You know, it is really that level of denial and absurdity and just, this is so ridiculous. How is this happening?
Exactly. I mean, but you know, the get over it defense, is that something that we'll hold up in court, you think? Yeah, you know, cuz I'm thinking about the next time I get pulled over by a cop, I'm going, "Hey, get over it. I did it. Yeah, get over it." Think it'll fly?
I really wish, because I would drive a heck of a lot faster. And park wherever the hell I wanted.
Well, there is.
Right? But this thing, I feel like we have three different cases, I think, about the emoluments. I think one got dismissed, then it got brought back. I mean, this is something that's ongoing. So I feel like this is just another piece of evidence in the emoluments case. I hope to God some judge finally goes, all right, we got to put the kibosh on this. And I don't know if a judge could stop something like that.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I think only Congress could, because they have the power of the purse.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do? Do they basically say you can't spend money on this?
Yeah, what they do is they wait till afterwards. They do what Trump would do. This is brilliant. They would do what Trump would do. After he's already run up the tab, say, we're not going to pay it. Stiff him on the bill.
That's brilliant.
Yes, stiff him on the bill. Yeah. Say, see, how do you like it?
Oh my God, this is genius. I want this to happen. Can we like have a movement? We need to like make a movement online and be like, all right, email your congressman and tell him to stiff Trump on the bill.
Instead,
they can pay all of those police departments that Trump has refused to pay for security.
Wow. Now, what are the chances, any chances that the other six countries will go, nope, we're not coming?
I doubt it. Yeah. What I would love to see, though, is the other six countries be like, yeah, we're going to stay down the street.
We're going to go to the Holiday Inn.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome.
The funny thing about Doral, just tongue in cheek, the Doral resort only has two presidential suites, and they're going to have seven presidents there. So what are they going to do?
They're going to have to bunk up, man.
That's exactly what's going to happen. I think you put you know, Merkel in with Boris Johnson and just see what happens.
Yeah, you throw Trump into the mix there as well. Make them all share.
And then just video it, right? Just stick a camera in there and be like, you know, that could pay down the national debt, that pay-per-view right there.
That would be great. But, you know, one of the things that I talked about earlier that came out today that got, I don't think got a lot of attention, was the Ukrainian ambassador, this Gordon Sondland, or I think that's how you say his name. I always butcher that. But his testimony behind closed doors that, yeah, it's wrong to do that. I mean, we shouldn't be doing that. And I had nothing to do with it. And it's wrong for Rudy to be in the middle of this. And I had nothing to do with that. I just found it interesting that that got buried when, you know, he's basically trying to get the hell out of the way, cover his behind, while simultaneously throwing them all under the bus. It got very little coverage.
It did. And I wonder if it's because if that was an intentional thing where Mulvaney came out, you know, around the time that the Sondland stuff was coming out. So I wonder if it was intentional for the White House to just be like, hey, guys, look over here. Look over here. Don't look at that Sondland stuff. Because Sondland threw Trump under the bus. He was just like, I'm not going to jail for anybody. Right. Yep. Like, he's just like, here's what happened. Here's what I found out. Here's what I know. For somebody who is as wealthy as he is, the level of incompetence was very high with this one. And so, I mean, part of me was just like, are you just stupid or are you playing stupid? Because I worry that, you know, this is one of those guys who's too smart for his own good and sees the writing on the wall, understands that, you know, he could be the one that goes down for Trump and he's not going to do it. He's not going to cooperate that way.
You heard the testimony, reports on the testimony from that Fiona Hill, who basically said, you know, this guy's dangerously incompetent. Not that he's doing anything on purpose. There's nothing malicious. He's just dangerously incompetent and has no business anywhere near that role. And, you know, there's some people who know things and, you know, maybe hotels or something this guy knows. Being an ambassador, not one of his strong suits.
Yeah, this is one of those things where typically when they appoint an ambassador and it's like a big funder or it's some famous politician or something, those people are really just sort of like figureheads and they sort of defer to the diplomats that are on the ground already and have been there forever and who understand how things work. And they're really just, you know, there to kind of liaise as a big time person who can speak on behalf of the president. But you know, I don't understand why we're appointing people who have no idea how to even spell ambassador, much less be an ambassador to a country, by the way, that has its own issues. And, you know, that's one of those, it's not like, you know, Argentina or something where it's like a simple country where there's no problems. Like, this is a country that actually needs a legit ambassador who maybe speaks the language, who maybe knows what they're doing. And I don't understand why we put this guy in there. You know, was that his choice? Did he ask for that?
Good point.
Or was this Donald Trump just being like, here, go do this thing?
A good question. I mean, it clearly was a patronage appointment, sure, because, you know, this guy gave him $1 million. It's got to get you something, right? But, you know, even he said, look, you know, this stuff should have been done by, you know, the career people, the State Department, all of those people. And look, I think he completely understood what his job was. He was just the pretty face. He wasn't supposed to be doing any diplomacy. He was just showing up for the parties and having drinks and all that stuff. Big fun. And let those career people do the work. You know, look, I think that's what he thought. And he's gotten himself into kind of a pickle here.
Yeah, and obviously he's going to step up and say, you know, this is not me. I don't know what I was doing. He's going to play dumb and he's going to throw Trump under the bus. And I say, right on. You know, I can support that. I don't know this guy enough to know if he is an enemy, you know, to lump in with all of the other people like Pence and Mulvaney and Rick Perry and everybody else. I would hope that, you know, maybe he can just slink away back to his millionaire lifestyle and deal with his hotel chains or whatever. And maybe leave the diplomacy to people who know what they're doing.
I'm sure he's hoping that too.
Nice.
I'm sure he's hoping that too.
I mean, I imagine he's probably spending a whole lot of money he didn't expect to on lawyers, which, you know, I mean, that's pretty much the story for the whole White House, right? For any appointee at this point, you got to be able to fork out at least, what, probably $50,000 for a lawyer if you're going to go work for the White House.
Yep.
So.
And finally, the other
in the line.
Yeah. And finally, the other story of the day that caught my attention, the op-ed from this Admiral McRaven. Not a good glowing endorsement of the president's foreign policy.
Yeah. And I was really shocked. Like, you don't typically hear people of that level being willing to come out against the commander in chief. Even if they don't support the president, they generally keep it pretty quiet. You know, it's like something that's sort of beaten into soldiers whenever they go into the military is, you know, that is the commander in chief. And regardless of whether or not you respect the actual president, you respect the office and the position that they command the, you know, American forces. So it's really weird. Anytime I see, you know, some of these these folks who've been really quiet, anytime you have any of them, you know, stand up and say, all right, I've had enough, then we should take notice. And Admiral McRaven is just another in what I feel like is a giant boat filled with angry military people paddling toward a waterfall at this point.
Or at least some of the leadership understand how dangerous this guy is. Because, you know, you look at the fact that, you know, still, from what I've seen, you know, the approval of, you know, some of the military folks, you know, Trump still got pretty high ratings. And I would have to think it's, you know, the amount of money that they've handed out. Granted, he has stolen some of it back to pursue his wall adventure. But, he did give them a bunch of money.
He has an absurdly high approval ratings for American soldiers. Anybody who is serving in the line right now, his approval rating is really high. Anybody who is a veteran or has been honorably discharged recently, those folks have generally a different opinion of him. But, I mean, you're starting to see a little bit from the folks who are on the ground in Syria, people willing to stand up and say, this is unacceptable. We've written a couple of stories about him where there was one special forces guy who, you know, right after, I think it was like Monday, right after Trump had given Turkey the go-ahead to start killing everybody, he was, you know, basically waving a flag saying, you guys need to be paying attention to this. Here's what's going on the ground. And you don't typically see that, and you certainly don't see it from acting soldiers. So I feel like I would hope that the folks on the ground would be respected enough that other soldiers would understand why they need to probably think a little bit better about who their commander in chief is next time. But that's just me.
Yeah, we'll see. 2020 around the corner. Sarah, I appreciate the time. Always great talking with you.
Have an awesome weekend.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work over at Raw Story. Great stuff. Quick break. Right back.
Keeping the chambers of commerce within their gated communities. The Rick Smith Show.